help clean up the dirt floor. So that also may be a potential problem of bonus. Mechaber and Rabbits, for right now, we're going to lump them together. We'll see as the sugya develops, they may actually part ways. So the Gemara starts with the first Imam Kamos, Tana Rabbanan. Hacholev ha-mechaves ha-megaben kigregeres. That's the first step. That's what we spoke about last week. Okay, not for now. Ha-mechaben ha-meraves ha-rodechalos dvash. The three different actions that a person does. Either he's mechaved, he sweeps the floor. Or ha-meraves, he pours water again onto the dirt floor. Or ha-rodechalos dvash. Or he pulls out honeycombs out of a beehive or something. He pulls some of the honey out of the beehive. So shogeg b'shabes chayv chatus hezi biyamtiv like yarboim to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says any one of these three actions, if done on Shabbos b'shogeg is chayv chatus, which is another way of saying it's a deraisa, and if it's done on yamtiv, then it's chayv malchus, which is again also another way of saying it's a deraisa. What possible malachas are involved here? So rodechal dvash is not really a sugi. Rodechal dvash is a sugi of kotzer. Back about 2 years ago, or so we spoke about kotzer. So Rabbi Eliezer has a unique shita that anything that's in the beehive on Shabbos is considered to be almost like it's mechubal karka. But let's learn that from a special pasuk in Zeres Hakosov that we view the honey in the hive as mechubal karka, and therefore if a person is rodev, he takes it out on Shabbos, that's considered to be a melacha gemur deraisa of kotzer. We happen not to pass it like that. We pass it behind. It's not mechubal karka. It's in the beehive, but halachically that's not considered to be connected to the ground. So we hold that at worst it would be a derabana. Maybe it looks like kotzer, but it wouldn't be a kotzer deraisa. So we're not going to focus too much on the role there. Chalos tash part of the sugya. The part of the sugya that we're up to is the mechabit and merabit part. So Rabbi Eliezer also says that if a person either sweeps the floor on Shabbos or waters the dirt floor on Shabbos, he is also chayav chatas, and meyantif would be chayav malchus. So clearly Rabbi Eliezer is viewing these as being deraisas. The chacham say echad zeh v'echad zeh ein v'elu mishum shavus. The chacham disagree with all of the above. The chacham say that not only do we disagree with the removing the honey, but we disagree with the mechabit and merabits. We don't say that it's mutar. We just say that it's not awesome in HaTorah, it's still awesome in the Rabbanan. So we're still not quite sure what exactly the Nekudas of Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham is, why Rabbi Eliezer says why Chacham and Rabbis are Deraisa, and what Nekudah do the Chacham disagree with. And we're also not sure if it's not really Aser min HaTorah according to the Chachamim, so why is it Aser min HaRabbanan? So a few questions, just how the sugya is playing out. And the Gemara skips a little bit, and the Gemara continues at the end of that line. Ameimah shara zilcha b'machuza. Ameimah permitted to pour water on the floors in the city, in his city of Machuza. Amar, why is that? Time amai amar Rabbanan duma asila shriya gumos, hachaleka gumos. So comes the Gemara and says that the reason why the Chachamim prohibited pouring the water onto the ground is because we're afraid there's a chance that may come to straighten out the ground, smoother to fill up the holes in the ground. You have a dirt floor, so the ground is not so even. So there may be some holes there. If you start to pour water and the dirt gets moved around, so you're going to be changing the ground level of the dirt. And that's considered to be a problem. So therefore, Amemar said, well, if you live in a place where the floor is not a dirt floor, it was a tiled floor, it was a wooden floor, so hachaleka gumas, there are no holes, and therefore the whole thing is mutter. So at least we have half an answer to our questions. We wanted to know why the Chachamim prohibited mid the Rabbanan, and we wanted to know what the Nekudas HaMachlokes is, what the point of difference between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is. So at least we know what the Issur HaRabbanan is. The Issur HaRabbanan is Dilma Asa L'Shriya Gumos. We're still not quite sure why Rabbi Eliezer holds it to Deraisa, and for whatever reason he holds it to Deraisa, why the Chacham don't concede to that. So we're still a little bit unclear in the sugya, but at least we're starting. So we know this machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says the washing of the floor, the sweeping of the floor, are all Deraisas. The Chacham say Deraisas are not. Worse that they are Derabanans, and the reason for the Derabanan is the four words Duma Asla Shvia Gumos. We're afraid lest you straighten out the holes in the ground, which we're assuming is part of the Malach of Boneh. Then the Gemara says the very end of the Sugya, the end of the first Imam Kamos, the last word on the second to last line, Via Idna the Sphirlan Kubi Shimon Sharia Firlach Chila. The Gemara makes an about face and says, we who happen to Paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that, namely, Rabbi Shimon of Dovashen and Miskaven. Remember, we spoke about this many times. Rabbi Shimon holds that if I do X, and there's a chance that Y may happen, Y is a malacha, but X is not a malacha. Let's say the classic example of Rabbi Shimon was, I drag a chair on the dirt floor on Shabbos. There's nothing per se prohibited about dragging a chair, but there is a problem making a hole. So if a person drags a chair and there's a 50-50 chance that he may make a hole, that's okay. That's called the Dovish and Miskaven. Not only is that not a problem in the Torah, it's not even a problem in the Rabbanan. And although not everyone agreed to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So that's what the Gemara concludes. Via idna, this feeling like Rabbi Shimon, we who have accepted the view of Rabbi Shimon, sharif lechatchila, we permit the pouring of water on the ground, even lechatchila. Why is that? Because let's not forget, the whole reason why it was us in the first place, according to the Chavim, was dilma asi lashviya gumos. We were afraid that lest a person comes to make holes. Not for sure. Every time I pour water on the ground, it's going to make a hole. It's going to fill up the hole, maybe and maybe no. So that qualifies as a davar she'ena miskaven. So therefore, we who paskin davar she'ena miskaven is mutter, will disagree with both Tanoim and the Braisa. So now it comes out, there are three shitas lahalacha, three different opinions in the Tanoim. What's the status of pouring water onto the ground on Shabbos? Rabbi Lezer is in his own world. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. I'm not sure exactly why. It's an Issa D'Oraisa according to Rabbi Lezer. That's not negotiable. Everybody else says the worst it's going to be is a D'Rabbanan. And now the Tanoim are parting ways. What do we do with this potential D'Rabbanan? So the Chachamim in the Braisa said, well, it's awesome in D'Rabbanan, so therefore don't do it. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. It's Mutter even with D'Rabbanan based on Davar She'ena Miskaven. So we have three different shitas lahalacha. Either you pick your choice. Either it's Yechayev, Potter, or Mutter. Every possibility of a Shabbos is represented here by these three Tanoim. And the Gemara concludes that we paskin, of course, that's Mutter, following the view of Rabbi Shimon. What's still unclear is, we're still not quite sure why Rabbi Eliezer goes to that extreme view.
What's Mutter, even the dirt floor?
Yeah, it's Mamshur. The Gemara says, in the Rabbi Shimon, everything's Mutter. So the question is, what exactly is the Nekudas Mechlekes? We're not sure. Why did Rabbi Eliezer go so far, such an extreme, to say that it's Aser Min HaTorah, based on what? So comes Tosfos and makes the calculation. The second Lamar Mekomas. Says Tosfos, and the Tzadhim and Aleph, and Mechavim and Rav, it's Tema. The Al-Korchach Nairi, the Lo Havi Psik Reishe, Shiyashvi Agumos. So says Tosfos, when I pour water onto the floor, is it certain that the holes are going to be fixed up? Is it what we call in the halacha psikresha? Psikresha means when I do X, it's not that I think Y may or may not happen. I know for a fact that Y is going to happen. So we know there's a famous klal that Rabbi Shimon, although he permits davar she'ena miskaven, he agrees that a psikresha is aser. So he asks Tosfos, obviously the pouring of the water on the floor is not the equivalent of a psikresha. Because if it would be a psikresha, the psikresha, heichishar lechavan Rabbi Shimon lechadchila. How could the Gemara just conclude, oh yeah, everything's okay, everything's mutter because of Rabbi Shimon, hamodim shim psikresha v'lo yamus. So says tells us the starting point of the sugya must be, this is not a psikresha. It's not certain that the hole is going to be filled up. That's the only way to defend the view of Rabbi Shimon, who permits it lechadchila. So now Tosfos turns around and says, okay, so now if you're going to tell me it's not really a psikresha, the cave and the lohave psikresha, amai mechayev Rabbi Eliezer chatas? So why in the world does Rabbi Eliezer say the yechayev chatas? Because yeah, the facts are the same. Either it is a psikresha, it's not a psikresha. So presumably everybody's looking at it with the same lens of measuring psikresha. So since I just proved, says Tosfos, that it's not an absolute certainty, so it's not a psikresha, the worst that it is a davar she'ena miskaven. Now, I know, says Tosfos, that there are Tanoim who hold that Davar She'ena Miskaven is also that. I know, Rabbi Yehuda, I know there are Tanoim all the way, and Rabbi Eliezer may be one of those Tanoim, but, says Tosfos, that even according to the biggest Machmirim, even those Tanoim who say Davar She'ena Miskaven is also, it's only Osur Midirabanan. The institution of Davar She'ena Miskaven, the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can't drag a chair because there's a 50-50 chance that a hole may be made, that's Osur. But it's not also with the Raisa. It would be chaya for that. So comes to us and says, even Naniach to Rabbi Eliezer is the biggest machmer in Davar She'ena Miskaven. To call Davar She'ena Miskaven Osir, but there's no way anybody would say that Davar She'ena Miskaven is awesome in HaTorah on Shabbos. So now Tosfos says, now we have Memonoshach, now we're in a checkmate. Because is the pouring of the water yes, psik ratio or not psik ratio? You make up your mind. Just says Tosfos, I'm perfectly, I'm willing to accept either one. Just tell, give me which one you think is right. You think that it is a psik ratio or not a psik ratio? If it's a psik ratio, then why is Rabbi Shimon permit it? If it's not a psik ratio, then why does Rabbi Eliezer say a chayev? So Tosfos says, no matter how you, which direction you turn, you're not being consistent. So Tosfos continues. The kevod love psik ratio, my mechaver blaz chata. So I'm a prekab la mamuna. Rabbi Tziruf Ashashios, the Dovish and Miskavin Mutl Rabbi Yudah Minat Torah, the Lavi Machas Machshavas. Tosis claims, based on the Gemara Maseches Yuma, that even Rabbi Yehuda, the biggest machmir in Dovish and Miskavin, agrees that Minat Torah, it's not a problem on Shabbos. It can't be a problem on Shabbos, because there are two magic words, Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas means it has to be a thought-out, well-planned, constructive, intentional kind of an action. Dovish and Miskavin fall short. So Tosis says that Im Kane, that nobody says that Dovish HaMiskavim is also the Torah and Shabbos. So then what in the world is going on? How in the world could Rabbi Eliezer say a chai for that? So comes Tosfos and says, V'yishlomer, Debaha Pligi, says Tosfos, that which we thought before, that everybody has the same standard of what's called a psikresha, not true. Debaha Pligi, the Rabbi Eliezer Savadav psikresha, Rabbi Eliezer thought that the pouring of the water is in fact a psikresha, and therefore it's also in a Torah. For Rabbanan Savri, the lo avi. And the Rabbanan thought, no, that it's not a psikresha. It's only a Dovash and a Miskavin. And now, once the Chachamim say it's only a Dovash and a Miskavin, therefore the Chachamim were Rabbi Yehuda speaking, that it's also midirabbanan. And the Gemara's conclusion is, v'ha'idna this feel like Rabbi Shimon, we who follow Rabbi Shimon, permitted even lechatchila. So comes to us and says, there are now two factors, there are two variables in this sugya. Variable number one is, you have to decide, is it a psikresha or is it only a Dovash and Miskavin? And variable number two is, if it's a Dovash and Miskavin, what's your take on Dovash and Miskavin? Do you think it's Asam in the Rabban, or do you think it's Mutlach Achila? That's the reason why there are three different shittas. Because there are two variables, that results in three different shittas in Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer held that it's a psikresha, and therefore it's Deraisa. But nobody else held that way. Everybody else held, nah, it's not a psikresha. Can't be a psikresha. It's only a Dovash and Miskavin. But what do you do with the fact that it's a Dovash and Miskavin? So great. So we just called it a Dovash and Miskavin. Okay, and now what? So that's where the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon part ways. Assuming that it's a Dovash and Miskavin, the Chachamim say, well, it's still awesome in the Rabbanan, because we're Rabbi Yehuda people. To which Rabbi Shimon says, no, I'm Rabbi Shimon. I hold that it's Mutter. And that's what the Gemara said. Isn't it this feeling like Rabbi Shimon? We who follow Rabbi Shimon, Shavu'il Lechatchila. So the only Nekuda, it's a great pshat according to Tosfos. The only problem in Tosfos is that they just made a machloikas that doesn't appear in the Gemara. They just made a machloikas between the Tanoim whether something is a psikresha or not a psikresha. So how do we relate to that? Can we understand that idea? You can have a machloikas at Tanoim whether something is a psikresha or not a psikresha. Isn't the definition of psikresha mean that don't do X because you know for a fact Y is going to happen? Isn't it something of certainty? It's kind of hard machlokes. Either it's certainly going to happen, it's not certainly going to happen. What kind of strange machlokes in metzias? You know, every once in a while you can have machlokes in metzias, but it's usually a metzias that's very difficult to discern. Here, test it 10 times and take a look. Pour water on it 10 times on Friday and take a look. Did the dirt spread out? Did it cover up the holes or not? If the answer is that 10 out of 10 times it did, so then you know you have a psikresha. If the answer is that only 8 out of 10 times it did, then you don't have a psikresha. So what exactly is the machlokes? So the Chorah, this Tosfos can only be understood in light of a comment of the Maharsha. I didn't put it in the Maharsha, but there's a Maharsha in Maseches Shabbos, where the Maharsha says that he thinks that the definition of psik resha is not as absolute as we thought it was. We thought, you know, I've been explaining to you for the last 3 years, psik resha means when you do X and you don't know whether Y is going to happen, that's Dov Shem Miskavin. When you know with absolute certainty Y is going to happen, that's called a psik resha. Says the Maharsha now, psik resha doesn't require absolute certainty. There's a thing called a concept called the curve of psikresha. If it looks like it's going in that direction, almost as a rove, the majority, most of the time, it's going to happen. That also constitutes a psikresha. You can only hide behind Dovash and Miskavin when it's 50-50, or less than 50-50. Once it's already carved, it's already in the direction of being a psikresha, of being a certainty, that's already close enough for a problem. Modi Reb Shimon, even that kind of a quote-unquote psikresha. If that's the case, once you water down the standards of what constitutes a psikresha, then it's very possible to call that a very difficult to discern metzias. If you define psikresha as meaning every single time, so test it 100 times, and if you fall short once, then you know you don't have a psikresha. Once you tell me it's a carved psikresha, you're going to test it 10 times. So 6 out of 10. Then you test it 20 times. Or maybe it'll be 9 out of 20. Then it's not so simple. Then you can potentially have gray area. You can have gray line. It's not so sure. Should I call this psikresha or not? That's what the Tanoim are arguing about. So the Maharsha may be right that a psikresha doesn't mean absolute. You don't have to be an absolute certainty to be a psikresha. You don't need 100% of a psikresha. Carve a psikresha is sufficient. Then it's possible to say this machlokes Tanoim whether something is in fact a psikresha, not a psikresha. But Hakopanim, the whole Mahalach of Taisus, which forced Taisus into this conclusion, is because is because Tosus otherwise couldn't explain the machlokes. Otherwise, b'manashach, how could Rabbi Elazar say a chayev when Rabbi Shimon is saying it's mutar? So Tosus had to make this added variable of a machlokes to on whether or not it's a secret. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll see it. The Tosus themselves in Sanhedrin have a whole different approach to this.
I think once we're arguing in Metzias.